Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I was very disappointed that there was no satanic ritual at the Super Bowl halftime show. Fuck you, Alex Jones. You lied to me. And with me, I have...
the hardest working man in the hotel business, Alex.
And...
my name is Mark, aka Mac, and oh my god, you see the new trailer for Samurai Jack.
Dude, that shit is gonna be so good.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that looks amazing.
Holy fuck, man. It's the kind of thing that's definitely worth the friggin' 13-year, like, wait it took for us to get here. Holy shit.
Damn,
everyone is hyped for this. I can see why.
Finally.
March 11th.
Closure. Yep.
Damn.
March 11th at 11.
Yep.
Though, wait, we still don't know if it's, like, expanding, like, if Toonami is expanding into 11, or if it's, like, just, you know, an Adult Swim thing.
It's going to be part of Toonami. There is a, I guess you could say, Toonami version of the promo making the rounds.
Ah, I have not seen that yet. You'll be reading all about that, because... and I literally agreed to this as we were recording this, like, as I'm talking now, I will be covering it for Surreal Resolution.
Hey!
Literally, like, Tyler nice. Just, like, messaged me, like, 5 minutes ago, and I just now replied. So, anyway, let's get into our formalities as usual. How y'all been since last time?
Oh, boy. You wanna know how I've been?
Oh, boy, sounds like you got a story.
Yes, I do. I can't go too much into detail because, well, there are a lot of elements involved, but recently at the salt mines, which we'll stay at for $100 a night, there was an incident involving a couple of stolen TVs, our van being used as a getaway car and being found 15 miles down the road from the place where I work, and two people getting fired for negligence.
Ouch.
Okay.
Now, yesterday, which would be Tuesday, I left home at 1:30 p.m. so that my shift could start at 2:30 p.m. I did not get home until 7:30 in the morning. I had a goddamn 18-hour day at work. All because two assholes decided to go into business for themselves and just not care.
Oh.
That's some shit right there.
Yeah. You guys have no idea how tired I am. Not just of everything, but just how dead exhausted I've been for the past couple of days. This is some high-level bullshit. Oh, and I have to go back into work when we're done with this night because there's an opening that has to be filled. And guess who gets to do it? That's me! God damn it.
Well, it sounds like they're really filling your opening, if you know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's getting fucked over by his employer.
Well, at least I'm getting good overtime out of this.
Motherfucker, you better!
Yeah.
You better get paid.
And to think, all my hard work, all of my perseverance, all my dedication, and it's just amounting to a 25-cent raise. Not 25%, 25 cents.
Oh, come on. What do they think you're going to do with an extra 25 cents, like, an hour? Buy a fucking jawbreaker or something?
Wait, is that many?
I never want to hear anyone say young people are lazy and entitled again. I worked a fucking 16-hour workday, and I've been doing school for the past 3.5 years. This shit I've been doing for way too long. I'm tired. I'm just really tired.
Add on top of that, the fucking Falcons, what the fuck?
What the hell happened?
Okay, I'm not a sports guy, but even I was watching that and thinking, how do you fuck up a lead that massive?
It's like, you had it, like, in the beginning, like, damn, they're about to win, they're about to get this shit. It's like, oh, fuck. I'm not even a football fan, it's like, damn. Y'all got fucked.
The Falcons falconed it up.
Yeah, as usual. It's like It's like the fucking Tortoise and the Hare, but like as a football game. Like, I haven't seen the... Like, the last time Atlanta fucked up this badly at something, OutKast broke up.
Y'all made people boy sad. Or just disappointed.
Straight up.
Well, at least we had that awesome halftime show with such political smacking on, like singing This Land Is Your Land and God Bless America. And that one line in Born This Way that makes Mike Pence squirm like a fucking infant.
And he, oh my god, he was there at the game. I saw it. You think he was fucking... How do you think he reacted to seeing that halftime show? I would pay money for the footage of that.
Oh, we can only wonder.
Ah. And meanwhile, entirety of the conservative internet is somehow convinced itself that the show was not political in any fashion. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, yeah. They're bitching about Coca-Cola ads.
And Budweiser.
Well, to be fair... Wrong. On the one hand, I want to defend Budweiser from their bitching. On the other hand, Budweiser tastes like my ass.
Oh, damn.
Oh.
They're going to drink it anyway. You know, say, man, why does me Budweiser? What is going to drink?
PBR.
Ain't that a hipster beer?
Eh. It's white trash beer is what it is.
I keep hearing different things about beer, like, yeah, no, but alright.
I tried it once. I remember the first time I tried PBR, and this was basically my reaction. This is like if Budweiser didn't completely suck. Which isn't saying much, but, you know, better than Budweiser is technically a compliment.
So when are you gonna upgrade to craft and IPAs?
What makes you think I don't? Dude, I'm the only one in my house that has, like, quality tasting beer. Everyone else is just drinking, like, Michelob Ultra and Yingling and crap.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't even drink, but ew.
Oh, yeah, I don't drink that much.
Pretty much. Oh, so I haven't asked Mark yet. Anything interesting going on with you?
Not really, no. After hearing Alex's story, I'm like, I'm never complaining about my work ever again.
At least your work has the Naked Chicken Chalupa. Which,
there's that, yeah.
So.
But yeah, I really do feel for you, man.
Yeah. Just remember, it could always be a lot worse. Yeah.
Yes, it could. You could be the president right now.
No, I'm the president! Why aren't they listening to me? Shut up, fuck with one clown shoes.
You small hand, small dick motherfucker.
And now that we've gotten those obligatory disses out of the way, although I guarantee you we're going to revisit this topic later, I suppose we should probably jump into the new music that came out in the past week. And as always, there will be a link in the description to a playlist with all the songs that you can check out and judge for yourself. And if you like the ones that we may talk shit about, then you can, like, you know, talk shit about us for talking shit about music you like. And then we'll talk shit about you and the cycle continues. So, starting from the top here, continuing from last week, where the big single of that week was the new Mastodon track, Sultan's Curse, from their new album, Emperor of Sand, we have the second single and second track from the album titled Show Yourself, and... Mastodon, why are you doing this to me? Like, you started off with the good song, and then you do this. This is... Okay, you know how the second track from Once More Around the Sun was the Motherlode, that really annoyingly poppy as shit song? We basically did the same thing here. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't go that far. It sounds... kind of in the same vein as High Road to me, with sort of the structure and the flow.
No, but, like, I say, like, Motherlode, because that was a song that was very clearly primarily a Brand Daler song, because he did most of the vocals on it, and it sounds like, you know, that same kind of thing here, and I guess he's the pop guy, like, sort of songwriting-wise. He channels most of that tendencies here, and I don't know, this just... you know, you start off with a classic return to form, like, you know, Sultan's Curse, and they go to this, it's like,
yeah, I liked it. I thought it was alright.
I just want this album to be good. Please, stop doing this to me. But,
well, as I said, it could always be worse, like our next band.
Yes, it could be Suicide Silence, which we were talking about again. And this one, Alex and I could both agree, it sucks. They've released yet another song from their upcoming self-titled album, and this one is called Silence. See, because they have silence in their name. And, yeah, if you thought Doris was bad with its badly written chorus with those awkward, like, new metal clean vocals to it, then you ain't heard nothing yet, boy.
Well, to be fair, at least it doesn't have the eh, it doesn't have that to it.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure I heard a bit of that somewhere in the mix.
I didn't hear the eh in there at all, but yeah, it's a pretty bland song.
Yeah, it's definitely got like that kind of almost, if not the eh, it's got like that sort of airy-ish, sort of like Jonathan Davis Korn style of like, you know, whine singing. And even kind of like that same groove in the chorus, especially with the way the bass kind of comes through in the mix, and those chorusing guitars, is just, oh my god, the way it attempts to evoke that kind of Korn-like atmosphere is so bad, it's almost funny.
But so, how long until Jared Dine starts another roast of them?
Oh boy, like, I'm pretty sure he already did, didn't he? Or is he too busy with that new Rest Repose album? That's right, folks. They're back, apparently.
With new members. Yay.
Is Fluff still with them?
Yeah, of course Fluff is still with them.
Good. He better be.
Yeah.
But anything would be better than this fucking... Just, who thought this was a song was a good idea? Like, they're... Like, the last time I saw a like-to-dislike ratio this bad... was that one Call of Duty trailer. Like, holy shit.
you remember the song You Only Live Once, where I had that clean vocal intro from Mitch Lucker before going into the heavy, harsh screams?
Yes.
That's all you need to do here. You don't have to try and go outside the norm when you have a well-established formula. Come on, guys.
Eh. Yeah, pretty much, but, you know, we're probably still going to be hearing... I'm anticipating at least one more song before their self-titled drops on the 24th of this month, so... Who knows, we might get one more laugh out of this album. Now, let's move on from mediocre rock and metal to some hip-hop. This song coming courtesy of a man named Raekwon, who I'm not familiar with at all, although I feel like I've heard the name before. Help me out here, Mark.
Alright, yes, Raekwon, you know, from the legendary group, the Wu-Tang Clan.
That's what it is! I thought he was yeah. Another group for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, he's been a legend for, you know, like, two decades, like, 20 years of counting. And he came with a new album out with The Wild coming out March 24th, and he got a single out coming called This Is What It Comes To, only spelled with two O's, which I don't get.
Because poor literacy is cool.
But yeah, for those that listened to Raekwon like a while back, this track is pretty much like very classic Raekwon. It's like he spits a lot of balls about this mafioso gritty grind style rap over these boom bap beats like you hear back on his earlier album. To me, it's actually a solid track. It's not the greatest, but like it's a good track that you would think, oh, this is what he sounds like. Cause I remember like last year he released an album called Phyla Fly Luxurious Fly Luxurious Luxurious Art, which I heard is a bit too commercial for a guy like him, considering that he's less like never more into like, you know, his usual stick, which is simple, but it's an effective song. It's like this is some classic shit that I could see hip hop old heads bump into.
Yeah,
you know, about the classic. Yeah,
yeah. I was listening to the track myself, and my main impression was like, okay, it's got that very, you know,
quintessential 90s boom bap sound. And, well, yeah, he's rapping, you know, about, you know, how awesome he is, how gangsta he is and all that. I think it works because, okay, it's not that hard to make this kind of rap song work. You just have to be able to sell you on it. Like, you gotta bring some game, man. Like, this is, like, the reason why Rick Ross sucks isn't because he raps about drugs and hoes and all that. It's because he doesn't have the game to sell you on it. It's like watching an actor give a shitty performance in a movie. You gotta get what I'm saying here?
Yeah, that and also Rick Ross kind of bullshitted his old stock, and the fact that I heard about his past, and yeah.
But here,
Raekwon does sell it. Raekwon does sell it here.
Like, he knows, like, the guy definitely has game, and just listening to, like, the way, the guy really knows how to work a rhyme scheme, you know?
Oh yeah, man. And seeing how, like, this dude been in the game longer since you were born. This is who you were born.
I was born in 93, I believe.
Yeah, like I said, this dude's been in the game for a long time. He's like 20 something years in the game, and he's come another album, which mostly people like that will just stop. They kept going like him and Ghostface and some other, like, most of the other Wu-Tang members still kept doing the thing, even when they're not exactly on the popular spectrum of hip-hop anymore, but they still keep it going. I like this song.
Yeah, I'm tempted to check out more Raekwon at this point. I'll have to put that on my to-do list. Moving on from that to more mediocre metal music. Yay!
Oh, goody.
And this one comes from Eternal Metalcore Disappointments, and probably the biggest waste of potential I can think of in the genre, All That Remains. Seriously, do you guys, like, I remember when I first heard of them, they were in the bonus tracks of Guitar Hero 2's, you know, playable tracks. I think it was the song 6, and I was like, you know, this is a pretty goes hard song. And then I remember when they came with the stuff from 2 weeks, and I was like, you know, for metalcore, this shit hits pretty damn hard. And, you know, it's got some riffage, it's a monstrous hooks to it and all that. And I was like, they could really go somewhere great. But then with each successive album, they just went lower and lower on the spiral until just, what the hell were they even doing?
They're the Atlanta Falcons of metalcore.
Relevant commentary.
Yeah, they have that really awesome track, 2 weeks, from a pretty great album. And then after that, it's just sort of, nothing ever stuck since.
Which leads us to the two tracks that they released from their newest album, which I believe titled Madness.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the title track from that album, which is perfectly mediocre, boring, safe, unthreatening radio rock. You know, this I could see this probably being a big single off like a Stone Sour album or something.
And you want to know why that is?
Dare I ask?
Howard Benson is the producer. When you want by the numbers active radio rock, you go to Howard Benson or you fuck off!
That's a name I'm going to have to keep in my list.
Yeah.
And you don't want to know what that list is.
Yeah. His production discography is pretty much big hits, but nothing too overly memorable. And apparently he produced Scott Stapp's second solo album, which I didn't even know was a thing.
I didn't even know he had a first solo album.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened a long time ago.
But yeah, Madness, you know, it's as safe as you can get, with the only memorable parts being the verses, having this, like, horrendously cliche, kind of industrial-ish thing in the background with, like, some light piano in there. It's just like, ugh.
Doesn't help that the guitar tone is awful, and the drums sound way too processed.
Oh man, you want to talk about bad production and bad processed sound. What about, like, the other single, Safe House, which theoretically should have been better because it's much more of a callback to the glory days of All That Remains, more or less. But man, the I don't know if they up if this is like a demo version of the track or the final studio version, but whatever version they posted really just sounds like an unfinished demo.
Yeah, like I said, horribly processed drums, pretty bad guitar tone. Also, tell the vocalist to step away from the mic from a few inches because
you don't want to sound just like this, you know?
But come on, Phil Labonte needs to, you know, express the intensity. And he, you know, before he goes on Twitter and whines how everyone's too oversensitive because they pointed out how much of an idiot he is whenever he tries to sound serious about something.
Maybe it's just a way to overcompensate. Like how everybody cups the mic because they want to sound bad and tough, even though, phallic reference.
Penises.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a good way to end that joke, so,
Sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, Madness, Safe House, one is boring as hell, one is technically better, but marred by terrible production, so I guess it averages out to, why is this band still a thing?
And speaking of bands who, well, aren't a thing anymore.
Yeah, Xerath. I always liked Xerath. They were one of my favorite current-day progressive metal bands. I remember the last album they came out with, 3, which I believe was either 2014 or 2015, made my year-end best-of list. They're just pretty damn good overall, but unfortunately, for reasons that I'm failing to recall at the moment, they have decided to disband. But not before leaving us with one last little musical goodie, an 8-minute track appropriately titled Regrets.
Very nice, too.
Yeah, for anybody who's never listened to or heard of Xerath before this point, their sound is like a much heavier version of the new age gospel stylings of the Devin Townsend Project.
Yep, I caught a little bit of that. There's a lot of progressive elements in the song, which, well, now that I know that I have some homework to do, I'm adding them to the backlog.
Yeah, they're sort of like those really spacey kind of synthetic electronics, and, you know, the off-kilter rhythms, the way the guitars and drums sort of like bounce off each other and all that. Plenty of shredding solos in there, and those loud, you know, bellowing vocals. Like I said, I almost wanted to say it's like if a strapping young lad era Devin Townsend was doing vocals over, you know, a current age Devin Townsend song.
That would actually make it for a pretty fun visual, seeing dreadlocked Devin Townsend singing, like, Rejoice or something. Or Kingdom.
It would be ironic. Oh my god, I would pay money for that. Yeah. Someone get him a wig.
Get him a wig and bad teeth.
But yeah, it's a shame that Xerath has decided to call it quits now, especially when leaving us with a song that's a perfect reminder of why they were one of, you know, the most excellent bands in the genre from recent memory. Shit, it's been like, they've been around for like a decade at this point, almost. Why must the good die young?
And why must it happen when Nickelback comes out with a new song, you bastards?
And that we're not talking about. In fact, I knew about it, but I intentionally omitted it from here because I swear to God, if I have to talk about a Nickelback song, I'm going to fucking shoot myself in the kneecaps. Yeah.
This show will die a death before we talk about them on this platform.
Straight up.
I'll drink Bleach and talk about that. We'll actually drink and watch Bleach and talk about that shit.
I'm not watching Bleach again.
No. Don't drink and watch Bleach. Drink and watch Fairy Tale. That's a lot more fun.
Indeed it is. I actually haven't tried, though, because, God help me, I'm going to get liver poisoning from all the fire puns.
Yeah.
But, moving on to the last song of this week, there's been some stuff going on in the camp of Mr. Vince Staples. He's about to head off on a tour sometime in the start of March, and he's even announced that he's got another project coming out very soon. In fact, if you've ordered a VIP package to any one of his shows, that pretty much guarantees you're going to get the album. Although I don't know if this is ahead of its official release or, like, it's just something he's throwing in. Like, yeah, we're not sure when the new album's exactly coming out. He says very soon. And this would be, you know, he's obviously kept busy. Like, he had, you know, Summertime 06 back in 15. He was on the Adult Swim Singles program last year. He dropped a new EP. And, you know, having this thing follow up pretty soon, it's interesting. He seems like a guy who keeps himself busy. And, in fact, we have the first single from his newest album titled Bag Back. Whatever that means.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell that meant.
Yeah, so, I'll say it has, like, a pretty cool, like, this warped, kind of warbled beat to it. Almost kind of aquatic in a sense. And I only say that because, like, the video that is posted up kind of has, like, just stock footage of, like, an aquarium and some fish.
Oh, yeah, why don't it remind me of, like, like, you know how Adult Swim got that whole fish center thing they got?
Oh, yeah.
Now imagine that song playing. Imagine that song playing with that.
Hey, I'd watch it.
I would too. And the song, and the song's pretty dope to me. I act like the beat was a little odd at first, as I thought, okay, this sound weird, but I can get to it. And I gotta say, what Vince said, what Vince brought out on a song, it's pretty good. I like what it's pretty good. And I think. Although I think he did say something about these are some. I'm trying to figure out what he tried to say at the hook.
Just like mishmash and noise, sort of.
Yeah.
And I'm still not sure what bag totally means. But yeah, like I enjoyed the song too. Some people, it's fair to say that Vince Staples is kind of an acquired taste because even though I think he's a good rapper and lyricist. I know some people just can't get past the sort of nasally tone of his voice. But I don't mind it that much. Like, at least he tends to say, like, pretty interesting stuff. This one in particular is firing sort of back at the way the American political system, you know, keeps the black man down. You know, he's rapping about how we need to have more, you know, black people in the White House. Obama alone just ain't gonna cut it. And just the fact that the system keeps down, you know, potentially. It keeps down black people who could potentially accomplish great things, throwing them into just, you know, rehab centers for no reason. And there's even this great line where he's like, you know, the next possible Bill Gates could come out of, you know, some poor slum of a neighborhood like the one he probably came from, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that shit.
So, yeah, I enjoy Vince Staples' music. This was a pretty good song, and whenever that new album comes out, again, whatever very soon means, give us a date
maybe
here, man.
Tomorrow? Or maybe yesterday? No, it's not yesterday.
Yesterday from whenever this podcast is posted. Obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have that to look forward to. And so that basically covers all the new songs of note from the past week or so. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get into some news topics. So, see you then, kids. We are back, listeners. So now, we have news topics to cover. And the first is a festival announcement, like we've been covering in these past few episodes. This week is, of course, the yearly Download Festival in Donington Park, which I assume is British.
Yes, in the United Kingdom, which is Britain, which is England.
Yes. I'm not great with European geography. I know the one that's shaped like a shoe, but that's about it. But yeah, Download UK 2017. Friday, June 9th through Sunday, June 11th. And how should we go through this? Should we go with day by day or just sort of hit the more memorable ones?
Let's start with the headliners of each stage.
All right, so Friday, June 9th, the big bands that day. System of a Down. Prophets of Rage. Five Finger Death Punch. Mastodon. Yes. Sabaton, who I'm told are pretty good. Motionless and White. I remember seeing them live when they opened for Slipknot.
How were they?
They're alright. I mean, they try to get the crowd going as best as they can, but when you're playing mediocre Marilyn Manson-style metalcore, then... And last but not least, North Lane. But who cares? Yeah. Now, you want to cover Saturday?
Sure. Saturday, on the main stage, the headliner is Biffy Clyro, a Scottish band who I am completely unaware of. But hey, local boys.
I've heard of them. I don't know much about them.
Yeah. And going back down the list, A Day to Remember. Okay. And then AFI. Okay. Pierce the Veil. Of Mice and Men.
Wait. How are they? Didn't they, like, break up recently or something?
I don't know.
Austin Carlisle shit.
I don't know. But the last two bands were going to be the first two bands on that stage. Creeper. Okay. And Hacktivist.
What?
Oh, that my was, fucking that God, that band.
Wow.
Yes, and they're... Okay, they're gent, but they rap. They're new metal gent.
Oh, gent.
No, gents. I wish there was jazz. Okay. Don't listen to Hacktivist.
I wasn't planning on it.
Good, don't. I've done that before. Never again. So, Sunday, June 11th, the headliners of that day, there's Aerosmith, who I've actually saw live back in high school with my best friend. There's Alter Bridge, Steel Panther, so you know at the very least that's going to be pretty fun. It's like Glenn Fricker says, they're masters of engaging an audience.
Right? They are pure showmen.
There's Airborne, I've never heard of. In Flames, which, guys, just stop, please. You were great once. Hashtag make In Flames great again. The Cadillac 3, and finally Fozzy, who I have no clue about.
They're the band with Chris Jericho.
Oh, right. I forgot he was in a band.
Yeah. They had one good album, and that was it.
Of course. Yeah. And then that's like the big stage, the biggest stage of them all, but there's smaller stages with a bunch of other bands. Just to sort of hit sort of the bullet points, there's Sum 41, Rob Zombie, Slayer, Opeth, Coheed and Cambria, Caveller Talk, Baroness, Suicidal Tendencies, who I've actually seen live before. There's Ministry, who I've also seen live. Sleeping with Sirens.
Ew.
4 Years Strong, who I actually saw once when they headlined Warped Tour. They're a pretty fun band. Devil Wears Prada, who, okay, I admit, I saw them live once.
Yeah, so did I.
They were touring with Whitechapel and Urshikari. Simple Plan.
Ew.
Every Time I Die, who are great live. Dillinger Escape Plan. Holy shit. Touche Amore. And then there's this last little stage down here who... Okay, I recognize Exodus and the Contortionist. Contortionist I've seen live before, but other than that, the rest of the names are kind of a blank.
Yeah. Not the strongest channel lineup I've seen. But, and that Saturday schedule is just... Ugh.
Well, let's put it like this. What does it say when the lower tier stages have better lineups than the higher tier stages?
Yeah, I would much rather see Coheed and Cambria and Rob Zombie than fucking Pierce the Veil and Day to Remember.
Coheed and Cambria can be pretty killer live, trust me, I know. And of course, you know, Alex could see his boys in Opeth.
Yeah. The thing, Slayer gets the second stage. You know, not that it's a big deal or anything, but Opeth, man, come on, give them some credit. Put them on the main stage behind Aerosmith or System of a Down, not friggin' Alter Bridge or Prophets of Rage. Or 5 Finger Death Punch? How did they get hired belonging to Mastodon?
I'm assuming they paid off a lot of people. Either that, or they sucked a lot of dicks. They did some things they weren't proud of.
Yeah. We all have.
By which I mean their music. Oh! But yeah, that's enough rambling about that festival lineup. Let's move on to some other news. the end. By which I mean the end of Black Sabbath. Sort of. Okay, so obviously, as everyone knows, they've been going on their last ever shows as, like, a consistent touring band. They haven't ruled out new albums or one-off shows, but for the most part, Black Sabbath, as a touring entity, is done. They ended their show, when was it? February 4th, from what it looks like, in, appropriately, their last show in their hometown of Birmingham. And the last song they played was, again, fittingly, the title track from their iconic release, Paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Why a way to go out.
Yeah. And pretty much end of an era. Like,
yeah. Nearly 50 years they've been together.
Yeah. I actually remember I saw them live when they were touring Behind 13. This was when, you know, they had the dude from Rage Against the Machine playing drums with them. And, you know, as much as I would have wished, they could have worked out their shit with Bill Ward.
Right.
It still was, you know, kind of fascinating just to see the oldest metal band in the game still going at it. Like, they haven't skipped a beat.
Another staple of heavy music has decided to call it a day. And I think a lot of us owe quite a debt of gratitude to these guys in one way or another.
Absolutely. So,
yep.
Farewell, Black Sabbath. At least as far as your touring days are clearly behind you, but if you have any surprises in the future, we await them with bated breath.
Indeed we do.
So, let's move on to another bit of interesting news. We all know about Bandcamp, right?
Yeah.
Very, you know, popular, convenient, you know, oft-celebrated music distribution platform. One that's more fair to the most fairness to music artists of any, you know, distribution platform out there.
Mm-hmm.
Great community. Always, you can find some great shit in there. And they've recently engaged in a little bit of activist effort. See, a lot of people are very mad about Donald Trump and his actions in office.
The hell you say?
I have no idea.
With perhaps the biggest stir-up so far being his immigration ban, which is very clearly targeting Muslims who are just, you know, trying to live their lives and shit, going so far as even targeting perfectly legal immigrants. You know, they have all their paperwork, their, you know, documents, their visas and all that, and just preventing them from being able to travel anywhere, even though they're legal, which is such crap.
Doesn't help that fucking grizzly woman herself, Betsy DeVoe, got sworn into the role of the head of the education department, and fucking Jeff Sessions is our attorney general, so things are going to get a lot worse for a lot more people.
Fucking Jeff Sessions.
Because who needs experience when you have money? Lots and lots of lobbyist money.
America's going to get fucking dumber beyond belief. We're basically going to be a nation of squidbillies.
Oh, no.
So, in times like this, it's good that we have, you know, groups and organizations, perhaps most notably and powerfully of all, the American Civil Liberties Union, who have been doing a tremendous amount of work in order to, you know, protect immigrants who have been unfairly targeted because of the ban. And they've been accepting a shit ton of donations from lots of sources, including the aforementioned Bandcamp. See, they made it clear last Friday that they were going to donate any of their shares from music sales of that day, like 100% of their shares, donated to the ACLU. Now, for those who aren't completely aware of how Bandcamp's distribution of funds works, their cut is usually about like 10% or so of what you make off an album. But they usually don't collect until like the 10th sale of an album. So like, if you put up an album for like $10 and you sell 10 copies of it, you keep 90, they keep 10. And so the numbers are in, more or less, and they've raised well over $1 million through sales on that day alone, meaning Bandcamp is donating a good $100,000 at least to the ACLU's efforts. Mm-hmm. And that's not even counting the other, like, labels and artists on the service who agreed that they would match any and all donations and sales of their music to the ACLU. So 100,000 is just a bare minimum. And I'm pretty sure I remember, like, Jason DeMarco from Adult Swim donating, like, $1,000 as well to match, you know, anybody who bought from Bandcamp that day.
Very nice. Very nice.
And if you'll pardon me a bit of what the internet assholes out there will probably dub virtue signaling, I spent some money myself on the latest Laserhawk album, Dream Writer.
Pretty much.
You're doing good work, which is more than I can say than a lot of people online.
Yep. So, kudos to Bandcamp. You are doing absolutely fantastic work. And if you ever decide to do something like this, again, to help some other organization or the ACLU again, then I'm sure lots of people, myself included, will be right there to, you know, give money to you.
Hear, hear.
So now, let's move on to something perhaps interesting to Alex. As we mentioned, or as he mentioned in his... Well, when we did the top albums of 2016, what was your number one album?
Dream Theater's The Astonishing.
Absolutely. And now, it appears the band is still, you know, actively promoting their most recent effort, most recently, through a cellular game of the mobile variety.
Mobile game?
Yeah, this is kind of a weird one. Try and follow me on this one. It is a mobile game that is also a board game.
What?
Oh boy, does that mean we get a Board James episode out of this?
Probably not.
Aw.
Considering Board James is, you know, gone insane.
Yeah, but he's not dead. Yeah. As far as we know.
But, I'm gonna be honest. I haven't had much of an inkling to pick this game up, mostly because I don't like paying for games on my phone, just out of habit and virtue and whatever else you want to call it. But this kind of baffles me. It's a board game. It looks like a weird variant of chess or, I don't know, some kind of tabletop game that people are into nowadays, but from what I've seen from the promotional material, it is pure 3D animation. It has the music of the album playing in the background, and it features cutscenes like what you see if you went to the live show, like I did, playing.
You bastard.
Yeah, playing, I guess you could say, in between the chapters, the parts, whatever you want to call it. I might check this out and actually buy it sometime later on, but right now, I can't say I have too much of an interest in playing a board game that's not actually a board, but, you know, on a screen. But that's just me. And,
I kind of wanted to check it out myself. I mean, it looked like it'd be kind of fun. Plus, you know, getting access to those exclusive little things that I'll probably never be able to catch because Dream Theater never tours close enough to where I live. God damn it.
but
there was a review, like, posted today over on Metal Sucks by frequent contributor and professional metal weeaboo Jeff Trappell. And from what he says, apparently the game is not good.
Yeah. But if anyone is interested, it's on iOS, it's on Android, and it's on Steam.
Okay, I know on the phones it's like $2.99. Is that the same price on Steam?
I don't know. Hold on. Yes, it is. Oh, okay. $2.99 on Steam.
Okay, then. So you can spend $3 on there, then get pissed at it, then get your refund, then wait for a Jim Sterling video about it.
Yeah.
It's the way these things go with Steam. So, okay, moving on from mobile gaming. You know, people sometimes admittingly don't have great relationships with their parents. Sometimes it's minor things, like you feel like they don't listen to you. Sometimes it could, you know, maybe one major misunderstanding that sort of forces you to have a major fallout. And then your dad sues your ass. So let's talk about Signor Francis of the Ocean. And why the hell did I say that?
Yeah, why did you say that?
Why did you say that?
I don't know. I was trying to sound witty and clever.
You gotta do it right. You gotta say, sirloin of beef. Like that.
Okay, now you're just making me hungry. Even though I had a friggin' ribeye like 2 hours ago. So, anyway. Yes, Frank Ocean. He's getting sued by his dad. It's a let me see if there's... how much is this? Oh shit, he's suing for $14.5 million. Because what? Of...
what?
Okay, so here's what happened. Frank Ocean posted a note to Tumblr sometime after the tragedy of the Pulse Club massacre in Orlando. I forget what the whole context or what everything like in the post said, but there was one anecdote he said about when he said, quote, "I was 6 years old when I heard my dad call our transgender waitress a faggot as he dragged me out a neighborhood diner saying we wouldn't be served because she was dirty. That was the last afternoon I saw my father, and the first time I heard that word, I think, although it wouldn't shock me if it wasn't." Now, Frank Ocean's dad is claiming this story apparently never happened, which, you know, I'm calling bullshit on Frank Ocean's dad. Someone has to. And that apparently because of the post, he's lost out on multiple deals in film and music, because, you know, you gotta capitalize on your son's fame, I guess. Asshole.
Okay. Prick. Motherfucker.
Yeah, just... okay. Dude. You're suing your son. There's no getting around this. You're suing your fucking kid for that much money. Like, what? Did you just see, like, the success of Blonde and think, I want in on that?
What a deadbeat dad. Oh, wait, I can't call him that or else he's gonna sue me, too.
Yeah, remember back in 2014, he fucking sued Russell Simmons for the same reason.
Wait, what? Okay.
For a lot more money, too.
$142 million.
Because they call you bad names?
It's like, Jesus Christ, like, okay, if you're the type of person to sue someone because they call you a mean name, I thought only the president did that.
Oh.
Yeah, we're comparing you to Donald Trump, and that's a bad thing, man. You don't want to be compared to that motherfucker.
And just to pour more salt in the wound, apparently one of the claims that he made in his lawsuit against his son is that apparently Frank is a hypocrite because he despises any kind of, you know, homophobia and, you know, phobia against transgender people, but Frank Ocean, as you remember, was a member of Odd Future, which is headed up by noted rapper slash bigot slash cheese connoisseur Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that something?
But I'm like, he doesn't do shit with Odd Future anymore, so trying to pull that now is like, you got any other irrelevant shit you want to bring up?
Yeah, they're no longer a thing, sadly. But yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do next? Bring up Hillary Clinton's emails?
Because that horse hasn't been beaten dead enough.
Indeed.
Oh, shit. The horse is dead. Damn it.
But, you guys want to beat another dead horse?
No, actually we don't.
Well, too bad, because we're going to beat a dead horse by making fun of a children's award show. Yes, yes. We are, of course, going to sit here and mock an event staged for the amusement of children. Because we are bitter, grumpy bastards like that. Because our childhoods were totally better. I mean, sure, we were the generation responsible for rocket power being popular, but other than that...
Hey, don't lump me in with all of that, okay? I had nothing to do with that.
So yes, of course, we're talking about the annual Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. There have released the quote-unquote nominations, although personally I think of this as just tossing bones. You know, it's like Carl once said, just say Smith and Jones, it doesn't matter, none of this matters. And of course, it's hosted by John Cena.
That
You thought I was gonna do the song, but I didn't. So
okay, Rebel Taxi.
You know, that reminds me. I don't know if I mentioned it in this podcast, but I'm secretly convinced that Alex is actually just Rebel Taxi with pitch-shifted voice.
What's that now?
I'm convinced that you're actually Rebel Taxi, but just with the voice pitch-shifted down.
Well, I don't live in Texas, and I don't have that much experience with video editing, and I don't make that much money either. So,
does he make that much money, though? How much money does he make off his videos anyway?
I don't know, but he has a Patreon thing.
Right. So, anyway, let's get back to beating a dead horse here. So, of course, we're going to talk some shit about the music nominations, because who really cares about the rest of the other shit? Like, you know, favorite male TV star, favorite cartoon, or...
Squad!
No. It's hashtag squad. So, God, or favorite butt kicker.
Okay.
Oh my God, the cringe is just palpable here. Don't forget BFFs, like Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson in Zoolander 2, because this is a kids' award show.
And you brought up Hart
and Oop. And Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson.
That was an alright movie, okay?
And don't forget favorite frenemies with
Save Martha!
Oh, God, I hate this movie!
Someone got paid to write... But, okay, let's get back on topic here. So, music. Favorite music group. The Chainsmokers. Fifth Harmony. Maroon 5. One Republic. Pentatonix. And Alex... It's your favorite. 21 Pilots. I love hearing him groan.
Okay.
Oh, look at me. I can make a beat. I can rap. I can sing. Oh, my God, I don't care.
Now let's move on to favorite male singer. Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Bieber.
Double man.
Bruno Mars.
He's all right.
And the opposite of all right, Mr. Better Than He Can, Shawn Mendes, Justin Timberlake, and get ready for this one, kids. He ain't no teen choice, but he is a kid's choice. The Weeknd.
Oh.
Ah, ain't that worth a laugh. Now, favorite female singer. Adele, who I like. Queen B, Praise B.
Two.
Ariana Grande.
So you know, same.
Gotta have that Nick bias. They always rope him in. Yeah, they never leave. Selena Gomez.
She ain't gonna win.
Rihanna.
Alright.
And Meghan Trainor.
Okay, don't get away from me.
Oh, Lady Gaga got snubbed again.
This is some shit, man.
What the hell's wrong with everyone?
Literally everything.
I get that Joanne wasn't a perfect album, but come on.
I liked it.
So did I.
Okay, so next category is favorite song. Obviously, we have 24K Magic by Bruno Mars, which we can agree is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake.
That was a bit sugary, but man, I'm not offended by it.
Heathens by 21 Pilots.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll probably pay. This one the worst song of that soundtrack. I don't give a damn. Okay.
Send My Love to Your New Lover by Adele. Side to Side by Ariana Grande featuring Nicki Minaj. And Work From Home by Fifth Harmony featured Ty Dolla $ IGN.
Oh.
That is one of the worst forced puns I've ever seen. Anyway, favorite new artist.
Oh, God.
Kelsey Ballerina, The Chainsmokers, Daya, who worked with The Chainsmokers.
She's not even new. What the
fuck? Lucas Graham!
Solange. Ray Schremmerd.
Wait, I don't even know either.
Haley Steinfeld, whoever the fuck that is.
She's that actress that was remember we took the remake that was her and
And 21 Pilots.
Oh. Yeah, because nothing says new like a fucking two-piece band that's been around since 2009.
Salon been around for like a long time, just not mainstream. She's been around like longer than that. Like, they ain't nothing new about her. And neither is Ray Schremmerd. Okay.
Pretty much. Favorite music video. Again, 24K Magic. Can't Stop the Feeling. Formation by Beyonce. Okay. Juju on that beat.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. No, fuck that song. Fuck
you this. Ugly. Man, fuck this. You yo daddy's son.
Oh, God. And look at all I got. Episode
Me one. Too by Megan Trainor. And Stressed Out by 21 Pilots. My name is Blurry Face, and I don't care that this band exists.
Haven't been at all.
And now, if you want to feel really old, they now have a favorite EDM artist category, of which the nominees are Martin Garrix, Calvin Harris, Major Lazer, who you might know for songs as Bubble Butt, Skrillex, DJ Snake, and Zedd.
Okay, I don't know. I need this as positive. There's no damn Chase Mothers on here.
Yes, there is not. And now to favorite soundtrack. Hamilton, which how the hell is any kid gonna hear the Hamilton soundtrack unless their parents are filthy fucking rich?
And by the way, kids, stop be listening to the tracks from Hamilton anyway. Just saying right now.
Okay, Me Before You, I have no clue what that is. Moana, which, okay, I saw that movie, I liked it, but I'm honestly struggling to remember any of the music from it. Sing, which I swear to God, I got so fucking sick of seeing commercials for that fucking movie. Suicide Squad.
Because every kid listens to Purple Lamborghini.
Well, to be fair, it was the only semi-decent thing about that movie, I'm guessing. I don't know. I haven't forced myself to sit through it yet. And then Trolls. You know, that movie that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry. We have two more to go. Favorite viral music artist. Tiffany Alvord. Maddie B. Carson Luters. Johnny Orlando. Fucking Jacob Sartorius. I swear to God, why? And last but not least, JoJo Siwa, which I don't think I've read that part of the manga yet.
I have no idea who any of these people are, and I think I'm better off for it.
And then, of course, there's the category for favorite global music star. 5 Seconds of Summer.
Ugh. Bam.
Big Bang.
Okay.
Bruno Mars. Little Mix. Zara Larsson. And oh my God, Shakira, a name I actually recognize.
Wait. I'm calling shenanigans on this.
How do you figure? Why is there
somebody from America in the global category?
I guess America counts as part of the world. It counts as part of Zawarudo.
Really? Because I thought with the way things are going now, we just sort of separated ourselves from the entire world.
I'd say we still give it about another couple weeks before everyone's like, fuck it, America starves.
Please help us, everyone. Please.
But yeah, that... If you're so inclined to watch that, it's airing in March. March 11th, but yeah, you're going to be too busy caring about the Samurai Jack revival. So, let's move on. Just move on, because my head hurts. Now, okay, we're living in an age of what's colloquially called peak TV. There's just so much television shows out there that everyone says is so worth watching. Like, not just the HBO stuff, you know, your Game of Thrones, your Veeps, your Silicon Valleys, but even basic cable shit, like, you know, there was Mad Men, there's, you know, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, Atlanta.
Fargo.
Basically anything on, like, FX or AMC.
Right.
And, you know, even other, like, obscure networks that nobody used to give a shit about have managed to bring in some peak TV. In this case, the A&E series Bates Motel, a prequel to the Alfred Hitchcock cinematic classic Psycho, which I will admit I only watched for the first time last October. I know, shame on me. Well, it appears the show is on its fifth and final season. I'm not completely sure when it's... it's premiering February 20th. And the first trailer for the final season has come out. The interesting thing about it is that it stars our girl Riri. Good old Rihanna is going to figure into this final season. And it's interesting because of the role she plays. She is credited in the cast as Marion Crane, which for anyone who is maybe kind of familiar with Psycho but has never seen the movie themselves, she is the chick in the shower.
Ooh.
You know the one.
Yeah, that
Motherfucker! Yeah, so, you know, obviously we had to reach this point soon. If it's on the final season of the show, it obviously has to stop at the iconic point of the shower stabbing. But right. I'm not completely... I haven't seen Rihanna act in much of anything, except for maybe Battleship.
Oh,
when that was a thing.
Oh, God.
We don't talk about that, ever.
My apologies. But yeah, this is one of those shows I'm told was really good, is really good, but I've never watched it. I may try to catch up on some of it, but I'm not completely sure yet. But, you know, it's interesting to see how they're going to retread the ground from, you know, one of the most iconic films of all time. Although, fingers crossed, they don't do what they did in the Gus Van Sant movie with Vince Vaughn. Mm. Remember, kids? You remember? Shot-for-shot remake, doing nothing original at all? Because I remember.
I did not. Well, I did, but I just don't care to revisit it or care at all.
Alright, so one last story before, you know, we head into the final shenanigans. Really? Tom DeLonge, really? Again with the alien shit? Do you not have any other hobbies? Like, okay, Tom, I will send you $8 so you could pay for a month of Crunchyroll. So you could do something better and more productive with your time. Like, watch all of JoJo.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've mentioned this before when he emailed Hillary Clinton's campaign manager about the aliens. And now, it appears he's writing a book. He's announced a book titled Secrets Machines Gods, secret spelled with a K, because poor literacy is an effective marketing gimmick. A, quote, work of nonfiction, which he claims, continuing his, showing off some of his exploration of UFOs and all that.
Okay.
Nonfiction about aliens.
I don't think a subscription to Crunchyroll is going to help this guy. We got to get him a subscription to Pornhub.
Pretty much. Tom, if you do go to Pornhub, search in this girl. Okay, you know what? No, fuck it. I'm not going to.
Don't dive too deep into detail now.
We don't need to know what goes on in your incognito tabs. So, yeah. Okay, so, as we said, it's titled Secret Machines, Gods, which, wow, that's some terrible formatting. And did we mention it's part one of a trilogy?
Well, of course. Everything has to be a trilogy nowadays.
Now, I'm reading from the article here about the book. The book promises to take readers on, quote, an eye-opening investigative journey to the heart of the UFO phenomenon, pulling in interviews and input from scientists, air quotes, engineers, air quotes, intelligence officers, air quotes, double air quotes, actually, and military officials, extreme air quotes, the book claims to transcend the speculation of journalists, historians, and others whose conclusions are often either misinformed or only teased around the edges.
What?
This is. Are you on something?
You want horse tranquilizers?
No. I would say it's more along the lines of not quite the brown acid, but maybe an offshoot of the brown acid.
This is what happens when you don't do ranch responsibly. The sightings have been ignored by academics, summarily brushed off by politicians, censored by churches, classified by the military, and ridiculed by the media. Yet the reports continue to come, yeah, from crazy people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you sound that from crazy, you know that I gotta give shit about you.
Like, dude, come on, man. Like, you know, I get it. Okay, really, I do. There's a part of me that crosses my fingers that aliens could be real, but I've currently accepted that there's not enough evidence to substantiate that claim. On the other hand, where are you pulling all this, air quotes, evidence from? You realize Ancient Aliens is not a credible source, right?
He's getting his sources from the same place our president gets his sources. Out of the goddamn blue sky!
If there were aliens, and if they look at what we are right now, they would say, you know what, no, fuck this. We either gotta leave or blow you up.
I think if they came down here and looked at the way things are nowadays, they would go, yeah, I think you're all doing a very fine job by yourselves. You don't need us to blow your planet up. You're gonna do it anyway.
So yeah, this book is actually going to be out in a month. Approximately a month from now, March 7th. So if you have cash that you're just willing to burn to read the ramblings of a madman, well, there you go. Oh, apparently he's also going to direct a sci-fi film about San Diego skateboarders investigating a UFO phenomenon called Strange Things.
What the fuck?
Aliens, Strange Things, and some kind of urban setting. I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
And I thought I wrote weird shit.
Reminds me, I still need to actually watch more than one episode of Stranger Things. I'll get to it eventually, I promise.
It's really good, by the way. It is.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that bit of nonsense out of the way. That concludes all the news topics for this week, so we just have to cover the new album releases for February 10th, 2017. And of course, starting from the top, we have the collaborative efforts of Fat Joe and Remy Ma, titled Plata o Plomo. We have the newest album from rap superstar Lupe Fiasco, Drogas Light. A newest album from thrash metal legends Overkill, titled The Grinding Wheel. Origins, a new album from power metalers Mutiny Within, which I didn't even realize were still around. I really liked their debut album, it was really good. But that was like all the way back in 2010, holy shit. We have Thievery Corporation's newest album, The Temple of I and I. And I'm tacking this one on only because it may come out on Valentine's Day, but that's just a tentative day for now. We have a new album from Marilyn Manson titled Say and then the number 10. Get it? Say 10.
And well, that is kind of lame.
It's a pun!
Yeah. And as an addendum to this, also coming out on the 10th, Blackfield 5! I'm excited for it.
I have no idea what that is.
We just talked about it a couple weeks ago. Blackfield, Stephen Wilson, Aviv Geffen.
Oh! Oh, I thought you were just expecting another Porcupine Tree release or something.
Not yet.
Hopefully. Someday. Soon! So, yeah, that is basically all the nonsense for this week. Fuck, we've been going on really long at this point. Shit, so this is where we clean your house and get the fuck out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
You all know where it is, but I'm obligated to tell you. Aura of Azure, A-Z-U-R-E.
Ah, noted. Mark, what about you?
As usual, for me, it's Mac to Hybrid Media, and of course, my own site, The Mind of Hybrid One, where I talk about mostly everything. And recently, I put a review for the anime Planetarian, you know, the anime that aired 5 episodes last summer that I think y'all kind of forgot.
Well, I have no idea what he's talking about, so I guess I forgot.
Not ringing the bell.
Yeah, you like that pretty much. Also, expect something Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it'll just be saying. So romantic. Oh, let me guess. You're going to review the show about the Dragon Maid.
It's not done yet.
As far as you know. Yeah. We know what you're going to write about. Admit it!
You can't read my mind, Rob.
You really want to hook up with the busty dragon chick.
Don't we all?
Eh. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Rob Barracuda, Instagram at Rob Barracuda, and of course on YouTube at Rob Barracuda, where you're more than likely listening to this podcast, which, by the way, if you haven't noticed by now, is now finally in widescreen with an actual background, because I figured out finally how to fucking change aspect ratios in Premiere Pro.
Oh, you're finally getting rid of Windows Movie Maker, are you?
What do you mean? I never used Windows Movie Maker.
Then why did everything look so crappy?
Because I'm stupid, okay? Do I look like I know my way around Premiere Pro? When the most advanced thing I ever do is drum covers and overlaying just audio and shit, do I look like I know how to use a video editing software?
No, you don't.
Exactly. But yeah, this new and improved look with widescreen and a background and shit. So, new episodes of the podcast, of course, go up every Friday, and if you want to be notified as soon as it goes up, just be sure to hit the bell tab, you know, right beneath the video. And of course, this is the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, which you can find on Twitter at Surreal Rezo, as well as online at www.surrealresolution.com. And of course, be sure to find the podcast on its subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. While you're there, you can listen to the archives of our past episodes, as well as listen to our gaming podcast, The Training Stage, in which our friends Tyler, Joey, and John give you all the goings-on about everything and the video game industry, and where they frequently rip on me and we rip on them. Because reasons.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go isn't that bad, and I will fight you, Joey. As soon as your internet's back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been dealing with some shit or something. While you're on the site and listening to those podcasts, also be sure to check out a lot of our written content. We currently have weekly write-ups of Blue Exorcist Kyoto Saga, where Alex likes to throw shade at me sometimes.
Yes, I do, because it's fun!
Inuyasha fucking sucks.
Oh, okay, Bennett.
Hey, man, what do you want me to tell you? I'm honest like that, and I am not looking to my left. Or my
right.
Don't worry.
Just keep or one eye open me. When you sleep.
What? Sleep with one eye open? Gripping my pillow tight?
Exactly.
Don't be right. You do plan on sleeping in this house, I got the blueprints here.
What makes you think those blueprints are still accurate?
Just remember, I can work 16-hour days. I don't need sleep.
Lies. But, yeah. So, there's that. There's also weekly write-ups of Konosuba. There's also, you know, game reviews, movie reviews, and all that. In fact, I might have a little something up next week. Who knows? And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord chat, where you can, you know, chat it up with the guys, or shitpost memes, whatever the hell you want to do in there. Gotta dump those dank memes, boy! And, of course, shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that does it for episode 20. So you know what that means. Next week is episode 21. We're finally old enough to drink. And, of course, it's going to be our obligatory, because somebody has to do this, Grammy recap episode.
Oh!
So we're going to need some drinks for it.
Well, I mean, I can pretty much tell you how it's going to go straight up. Queen Bee wins everything. A couple of awards are probably going to go to 21 Pilots. Lady Gaga and Metallica are probably going to be the most entertaining part of the show. And, you know, other stuff, I guess. So, yeah, that'll do it for this week. So, until next time, Seriously, Atlanta, what the fuck?
Terrible.
Oh boy.